Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello dear listeners, welcome to a new episode of the Partido podcast, where we talk everything Aleti. So Aleti are going to be facing Inter Milan the round of 16 of the Champions League, and joining me to talk about that is Abel Mezeros, a football expert and consultant, and he also did some time covering the Italian Serie A TV. So, Abel, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks for having me on, and excited to talk to you on the air. I know we talk a bit off the air about Atleti, and then, I'm happy to contribute to talk to you about Inter.
Well, Abel, it's a pleasure having you on the show, and as if Milan fan, and I obviously had to invite you because basically it means you're on my side as Aleti will be facing Inter on Tuesday.
I don't know. Milan fan is like probably a little strong. I mean, I'm somewhat like, definitely if I have to pick between these two, I think everybody kind of knows. But yeah, I'm actually like, in terms of aesthetics and which team I enjoy watching, like Inter's. Especially under Inzaghi, like, has been, I would say, overall, last 4 or 5 years, the most fun team to watch in Italy, because they still have, like, many of the, what people kind of consider, like, traditional Italian skills that I think everybody's sort of seen, in, like, getting Champions League final, but then also, like, they can play incredibly, like, intricate, modern possession and, you know, positional play, and then also like some more associative football, and it's really, really fun to watch, and I think this season might be like sort of their strongest in terms of squad and how they're playing.
Yeah, usually in terms of their strongest, because they are basically the best team in Serie A in terms of goals scored, in terms of goal considered, and since the league resumed, they have not really lost a game, which is actually very good on their side. And given the magnitude of the games they've played within that time, they've beaten the likes of Roma, they've beaten Juve, they won against Lazio in the Coppa d'Italia, in the Supercoppa d'Italia final. So they are really on a good, having a good run of form, and playing against an Atleti side who, since the turn of the year, have been struggling with fitness. Really, really, I would say it's a bad match.
Yeah, I would say like it's probably one of the worst matchups Atleti can get. And if you also like, it's hard to discount like that they won every game since January, and you mentioned the Atleti form, but also like the, even just the numbers of this team is actually putting up better offensive numbers in terms of like 2.5 goals nearly, and like they have the highest points total per match in the big five leagues. The non-penalty XG is almost at 1.99, so like the year they won the league, it was like 1.9, and they're putting up like incredible stuff on through balls and cutbacks. Like all of these are like doubling or close to like, you know, 60% over the league average, and they're doing it in a way where like Jan Sommer has 15 clean sheets in the league, and so it's not like they're like giving up anything defensively. So I think that's probably like the only kind of thing that Atleti can make is that, well, like maybe the league in Serie A is like not as strong as it was, I would say, like a couple of years ago. And they might not have as much of a competition now with basically having, but at some of it is like because they've defeated the competition, right? Like, as you mentioned, Juventus recently, I mean, Milan, they crushed early in the season. And so like right now, it's just basically they're in a little bit of a league of their own. So like obviously 10 point lead, but so and doesn't seem like anyone that's gonna get near them pretty much anytime soon. So I think probably like the title is wrapped up, although like they have blown leads that were a little bit smaller like a couple of years ago to Milan. But I think, yeah, they're pretty much untouchable. And maybe not so much in the Champions League, but we can talk about that.
Yeah, like you said, in the league, they have been on superb form, and they have basically lost just a single game, which was at home. And that's kind of good news for Aleti, because Inter has lost two games the entire season, and both of them have been at home. So Aleti kind of hope for Aleti. But then on the part of Aleti, if you look at their away form, it's really, really poor, because they have lost six games, and all of those six games have come away from home in the league. But in the Champions League, it's been a different story, because away at Lazio was basically one of Aleti's best away performance this season in terms of containing the opponent and then trying to create on the counter. And then you have the game at Celtic, which was also good, but Aleti's vulnerabilities were basically put on display. Then the game against Feyenoord, which basically clinched qualification for Aleti in the Netherlands, was also another good away performance. So it's kind of like contrasting performances for both sides, because Aleti has been decent this Champions League season. They are the highest goal scorer. They were the second highest goal scorers in the group stages, behind City, I think. Then Inter, basically, they have been like kind of, you see what you expect from them given the squad they have and how they have been performing in the Serie A. They have not really performed like up to what you expect from them in the Champions League, given the group they had, and Real Sociedad kind of topping the group. Not saying Real Sociedad is an easy team, but that's a group you would have visited Inter to top with Salzburg, Benfica, and then Real Sociedad. But well, they made it through, and then now they have to face Aleti. So, what are some of the things that have like kind of made Inter to be how where they are this point in the season? Because it's true, they always say the season basically starts from February, and now we are in February, and Inter, like you have just mentioned, are on a good run of form and are doing well against some of the top dogs in Serie A. Even though, like you mentioned, Serie A is not really the best at the moment in terms of as compared to previous season, because you have some teams who are under construction and some teams are kind of having like yo-yo, up and down, up and down. Abel, so what are some of those things that have contributed to maybe Inter arriving at this point in the season with a chance to maybe go all the way for all three competitions?
Yeah, I would say, like, putting aside the struggles that, like, the teams from Roma and then, you know, I think Milan early part of the season, and then, you know, how you don't really have much of a challenge other than, like, I guess Allegri's Juventus, but then it's like, it's Allegri's Juventus. Like, it's hard to get excited about them. So I think at the same time, I don't want to take credit away from, like, this squad that was. I mean, last season there were, like, some issues and that didn't go well. But remember, like, they were the one team that beat Napoli, and they were the one team that played Napoli the best, which ran away with the title last season. And, like, the year before, they were probably the best team if you look at the entire season, and the Brozovic injury and, like, the Radu Fowler in the makeup game kind of killed them in the title race in Milan. And this team has been building, even, you know, like, I mean, probably under Conte when they won it, but under Inzaghi. And now I think there's, like, two key elements. I mean, basically, it's depth in terms of having someone next to Lautaro, and that's Marcus Thuram, who has, like, exceeded expectations in, like, basically a guy that completely takes the attention of defenses. He can get out wide. We'll talk about his sort of tactical role, I guess, a little bit later. But Lautaro has been even more unleashed as like, you know, seasons before, and he is like much more free to just do link up play, but also get in the box. And then also the wing back depth as well now. And some of it is like because they signed Pavard, who's been really good, or Bisek when he had to fill in as the right center back. And that's allowed like Darmian as well to be one of the wing back options. And it's not just Dumfries, who I think has probably not been that good. And on the left, it's been Di Marco, who has had like a really, really nice season with some really key goals, but he's also been rested and then Carlos Augusto when he's played, like, he's played a lot in the Champions League. And he's looked quite good. Like, he's always, you know, like, had a couple assists in Tanitana as well. So he's, I think they have a much better, like, rotation as well. And obviously, I probably should have started with Hakan Çalhanoğlu's incredible transformation into basically a regista from like being a number 10 and a winger earlier in a career, or a wide midfielder, and then, you know, transitioning to an eight when he went to Inter, and now he's basically become Brozovic without sort of the positional error slash sometimes things. But like, I mean, you can make, I think people have made many highlight videos about just the ridiculous passes that he makes. And obviously he's scoring the penalties and scoring, you know, still doing set pieces. Like, you know, he's been probably the, I don't want to say unsung hero because there's been enough songs about him, but I think those are kind of the factors in terms of players.
Yeah, Hakan Çalhanoğlu is really an interesting case, and you have said about his transformation, which is quite interesting because it's like no Brozovic, no problem. And like you said, some of the clips, if you haven't watched that, you go to YouTube and then you check, are really, really incredible. Some of the passes he just plays are kind of like ridiculous. I bet it's like a lot of players, like you have mentioned, are kind of like improving their performances. Some are doing better than expected. And then Inzaghi is also like managing the squad better. Like you said, he's resting key players at key moments. Which that same can't be said for Atleti, because you kind of have Simeone, where Simeone has like 14 to 15 players where he kind of rotate the squad amongst those guys. And then you kind of have issues like Atleti has had recently in terms of losing match, not because they were not the better team, but because the players were not fresh enough. Like Griezmann, Koke, the key players of the team were not really fresh enough. And it's not really down to the fact that Atleti doesn't have a big squad at Inter. It's true that Atleti doesn't have a big squad at Inter, but Cholo doesn't kind of trust those who are, it's like what you just said, like he's struggling in Inter last season, where the backups are not really, really of higher quality. And it's like, for example, taking out Griezmann for Korea, that's really a drop in quality and also a different aspect to what Griezmann kind of offers. And as we go detail and we talk about Thuram, I think basically what he offers is similar to that of Thuram. So Abel, we have to talk about Inter Milan's tactics, because that's, I think Inzaghi has basically been like, I don't want to say mentioned media, but something of that, where everyone on Twitter is like, Inter are very good at this. They are not really conservative, but you have that fluidity in possession and you have that solidity in defense. And before we record, you were talking about the fact that like Inzaghi has kind of made them very good at like minimizing their flaws and then highlighting or strengthening what they are very good at. So we have to talk about what they do in possession that has really caught the eye for most. And we all know, I think, since the Lazio days that Inzaghi uses the 3-5-2 formation or whatever you can call it, but three center backs, wing backs, and then you have two strikers. So can you give us a rundown of how that basically goes and how they basically do things in possession for Europe to attack?
So, I mean, the number one thing for them is that they do want to like keep the ball, build out of the back, like invite pressure, bait the press, and then have various ways of outplaying them. So like basically they almost always build with a four, or sometimes it's like a goalkeeper, two center backs, and then you'll have one center backs of the side will push out to the fullback position, and then they will have the other, so that sort of wing back pushes up higher, and it's like becomes kind of a four, sort of two in the middle, another two strikes, 4-2-2-2 kind of with two wingers. And so what that does usually is like, you know, if it depends on the opponent, right? But if they don't press up, then they will just play out to the side. And usually the immediate pass, which is like from like Contes, is like it goes diagonal to the striker, which now they have Thuram who can fight off people, but then can also run behind, or Lautaro as well. And then that player lays it back to Çalhanoğlu or Barella, or usually one of those central midfielders who are the two. And then those players play the pass in behind to like the wing backs who are playing as kind of strikers, or maybe one of the strikers who isn't dropping off, or sometimes it's like maybe one of the eights who makes that run. So that's a pretty common one. And then the other one that they can do is, because they have a Thuram who can run behind them, and that was their issue, I mean, even the last couple seasons when they were playing with like Dzeko or Lukaku as well, it wasn't like that player that had the ability to run behind as much. So, I mean, that means that opponents could press them more. But this season, there's been so many of those goals where Thuram is one-on-one or like he's one-on-two and he flicks it on, and then you have just these plethora of few other wingback runners who are getting in, and sometimes like Thuram will get up and get on the end of it. Or the other one, which I think is even more interesting, is from sort of a, this isn't really from like goal kicks, but like from more established possession in their own half. What they're very, very good at, probably the best in terms of using center backs as like sort of third man runs or even fourth man runs. So like a very typical pattern for them will be something like they like basically, you know, a lot of the teams in Italy will play like kind of a man marking of back three, back five. So against that, you'll have with like a three center back setup, you'll have a spare center back. So you find that. And then typically that center back will either play a pass to like wide player or like a central player like a Lautaro or Thuram. And then they'll continue the dynamic run because sometimes they're not picked up, right? Because they're the free man. Or sometimes have a dynamic advantage on like, say, a central midfielder that picks him up. So he, like, Avar or Bastoni will play that ball to the wide player or the central player, and then there's, like, either a central pass or a wide pass, and then they will get that return pass, and then you often see them in the box. So that's one variation. Another one that they'll do is that spare center backs plays it out to sort of a deeper coming, like, now fullback. So like a Di Marco or Darmian, and then the eight, like usually Barella or Mkhitaryan, separates as like the striker drops. So like a Lautaro or Thuram will drop, and that usually like either if the center back doesn't follow them, then you just play them, right? But then if the center back follows, then there's space behind them. So like usually the eights will just make that run, and that's another way that they create. So there are various ways. I mean, it isn't really like much of a secret to say like the Hungarian national team under Marco Rossi has been using their build up for like definitely 2 years, maybe more. And I mean, many other teams have been studying Inzaghi and implementing his methods. So what I like about it is that it isn't really like sort of personnel based. It isn't really, but it's not sort of dogmatic like Conte, where you can only play this pass or that pass. There's a certain amount of freedom, but it's also like very well organized in terms of who gets to make which runs, like when did they do it, and you can see like how sort of in sync the movements are, and that, you know, in terms of center back just made a third man run, or you know the eight separates, or like the way the strikers drop off. So all of these things that I mentioned. The best thing about that is that it's very, very organized, and it's also like not rushed. Like they're very, very good at being patient, you know, and not sort of attacking directly when they don't have to. So I think that's like a big, that's a very major point in their in possession, because it's that they can like drag teams out and find sort of those spaces. And then when they do, it's very common. And obviously, like there's other things that they'll do in final third and how they get beyond the defense. But I think those are just the key points.
Well, Abel, wow, you really summarized that very well. You kind of mentioned that they are very good at, I think, basically three good things, which is the timing. Then you have like the movement and sing, and then you also have like the execution of the ideas, the coach's ideas, which kind of shows all the great team they are. And talked about the use of their wide center backs, because I watching the Juventus game, that was quite evident. And you have like Cavado, Bastoni, and they kind of provide support, which kind of increase like form, I think, those triangles, or you have those wide combinations where you like you mentioned 10 man play, and then you are created for good crossing angles, and they have like the likes of Lautaro and Thuram in the box. And then you have those midfielder like Barella crashing into the box, which kind of make them very, very good. And from the patterns you mentioned, it seems like they are not really relying on like a particular way of play. They have like different, depending on how the opponent reacts, they have like different methodology or different patterns to kind of take to kind of solve the problem, which is really, really good. So Abel, you talked about Thuram, we have to like maybe talk about him, because it's like he has taken Inter's attack to another level. And like you have mentioned, he kind of maybe offers what the likes of Zeko and Lukaku were not offering. And I think the game against Juventus and even against Roma, you have him like making those runs, even when teams are like kind of sitting passive and then you don't have a lot of pressure on the center backs. You have him making those runs from out to in, that's from inside to the wide channels, and then they are kind of picking him now. And I think the first chance against Juve came from such a run, and then you have Mkhitaryan into the box. And it's like having him, and then you have Lautaro, is kind of like being the huge benefactor, because he's basically scored a league high of goals this season already.
Yeah, it's like 30, I think it's like now, yesterday, they've cracked, like, Thuram's cracked double digits now, and Lautaro hit the 20 mark. So, yeah, I think, but more than that, I think it, because I don't think they've really had, like, much issues kind of beating the Salernitana. Like, there's, you know, Lautaro's historically put up, I think, I don't know, 3 goals a game against Salernitana. But I think this comes very, very useful in those key games. So Champions League knockouts and the key, like I mentioned, game against Juventus or Milan. And in those games, like, you definitely remember, like, Dzeko or Lukaku, or, like, when they had Alexis Sanchez, like, who's, I guess, who's still back now. Like, just giving a different option. And I think that makes teams defend them differently, right? So they know that, well, we can just defend them one-on-one if we have those kind of things. But if it's like Lautaro and Thuram, who also like are very good at playing super narrow to each other, and then it's just massive problems for center backs. Because in Italy, like, a lot of the center backs will actually follow, because it's, you know, it's a game, it's a league where Gasperini and then sort of his school is very evident, and that's a lot of high man marking. But, you know, in those cases, it's like you gain any separation, or as like a Thuram, who can win these duels just by being more physical but also being more technical and just having the constant energy, then it becomes really, really hard to kind of keep them out. And the thing is that eventually they will always just wear you down, and I think that's probably an issue that Atleti will certainly suffer from. I mean, I know you've had some issues at center back, to put it mildly, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the greatest weakness in this side, the center backs, because either they are not there or they are there and then you kind of have them not performing. And I think the center back area is an issue, is an area where it has been declining for years now. And yes, I think rumors came out yesterday saying Andre Bata plans on rejuvenating the squad, and the center back is one of the key areas. And you have had a little link with a couple of like good young center backs all around Europe. You have like an Heinkapé of Leverkusen, which is not the first time Atleti have been with him. And then you kind of have like Mamol from Las Palmas, and you also have Cardona. I think those are very young center backs, and if taking those profiles into consideration, they kind of fit what Atleti wants to do. The three at the back, players who are comfortable in defending wide areas, and then also offers Atleti that opportunity to kind of like play high line, which the current options are not there. Because in the Atleti center backs, to be at this season, to be honest, I think there's only one player who is not 30 years old, and that's Jose Maria Jimenez. So that kind of says a lot about our center back options. And I think if you watch the game against Real Madrid, that was kind of evident. And I'm thinking about defending those wide areas, which is an area where they are kind of good at, especially when they are in settled, when they have settled possession in the attacking third. And then if you are not quite brilliant enough, then I think those movements kind of pick you off, and then you have maybe a pass over the top for Di Marco, or you have Bastoni with a very good opportunity to put the ball into the box and the rest. And Atleti are also very good at box defending, which is kind of surprising given when you talk about Simeone Uchulu. That's basically what comes to your ear. So Abel, you talk about Thuram and what he basically offers, and it's a knockout game, so I think he will obviously be a key player. And like you said, it's been really surprising given how he's been performing this season, because Atleti were kind of linked with him in the summer, kind of like did maybe watch some of his games back, and he was good, I think, when the season where he did very well with Alessandro Player. But then after that, it was like a drop-off and he disappeared. So I was kind of like, maybe this guy is an on and off guy, but now he's going to Inter and poof, it's just been incredible. And it's like he's like maybe the main cock in attack, because against Juventus, there was a pattern of play which kind of repeated itself, where you have when the interiors kind of receive on the half 10 or facing Juve's goal, you kind of, the first pass is basically to Thuram, and then you have like that successive play, which they are very good at doing on the wing, but now around zone 14 to kind of create a chance, which kind of speak of magnitude of his technicality and his ability to kind of impact in this attack. So a very key component, I think, of this system, which you have already talked about, is basically the wide overloads and the wing-backs. Can you please just give us what to expect from those wing-backs? Because, like you said, Inzaghi has been doing a lot of rotations, and the wing-backs are basically key. Because you have someone like Dimarco, who is very good at arriving in space, and that's really something I think that's really contributed to some of the goals for Inter this season.
Yeah, I think, like, it's interesting in Inzaghi's system, because at various points in like Inzaghi's tenure, Darmiana particularly, like last season, like he was a lot of times like a right center back, and there was like some experiments with Di Marco as a left sided center back, which I think didn't really do well, and then they kind of quickly realized that, well, we've got like this guy who's amazing at shooting and crossing and cutbacks and obviously really the offensive side of the game, so let's try to get him there. I think the Dumfries, who was key member our last couple seasons, this season isn't really like he's been definitely like probably the one person who hasn't done as well in terms of, I mean, he's just a very strange player, because it's probably like sort of a, like, I mean, he's got like a lot of these kind of in the box skills and isn't necessarily like sort of the greatest provider in that sense. So Darmian's been playing a fair amount, and Darmian is a tactically like a really versatile player and just pretty much does whatever he wants. But, has sort of like a little bit of limitations, like he's, you know, but I mean, still, like, he's a guy who's been in the biggest games in Champions League and all that stuff in final. So, I mean, Dimarco has like a very good understudy now, and Carlos Augusto came from Monza and is, you know, I've been playing for the Brazilian national team, right, in the back four, which and he's, you know, he's been, I think, a pleasant surprise for sure, just because he's, I think he actually has the most minutes in the Champions League for Inter, which is like one really funny statistic but so just that, but, and I think that was a big problem for them, particularly like last season, that they didn't have like the backups like Belanova weren't that good, and then Darmian often needed to play right side at center back, because they couldn't really make up for Skriniar's departure. And now with Pavar and Bisek, that's been pretty nicely handled. And I mean, if you look at kind of the minutes distribution, like no one's really like played crazy minutes, you know. Mkhitaryan's, who's been like sort of at 35, I think no one's really like expected this. But then he's got like Fratesi, who is just kind of there. Like there's the, you know, who's a really, really promising player for a while, and he's there as kind of a squad player, you know. So I think that's the underrated part of Inter, is how they, and Inzaghi, which he wasn't always good at that. Like the issue with him for a number of years was, well, they always start out really well in these big games, and then like by about the 60th minute, they kind of fade, and then the subs are usually like not really helping. And I think this season there's like quite a lot of depth now. And it's maybe not like showing up in like some of the data as much, although Fratesi has like, you know, pretty nice, like he's got like 4 goals and he's getting there. I mean, Arnautovic, I think, is somewhat widely criticized, but he's, you know, he's putting up when he has to, and he's able to spell, you know, Thuram and Lautaro, so that they don't play every single game to the end, because that was another thing, and they don't get injured. And then I mentioned sort of the center back, you know, De Vrij as a squad player, Bisek as well. Like they've been able to spell Bastoni, because he'd have like weaker spells in some of the games. And yeah, like Buchanan, Tejan Buchanan, who just made the debut against Salernitana last night, is another exciting option potentially for that wingback spot. So you probably have some bad memories of him in Club Bruges. So yeah, there's lots of options.
Yeah, you just mentioned the guy from Club Brugge, and man, up to today, I can't see pronounce his name because of what he did against us. He basically took the weaknesses we have in wide areas because Aliti, especially on the left, where Aliti kind of play a winger as a wing back, yeah. Given that the aim is to create chances in the final third for that winger and be create 1v1s where the winger can thrive. And then you have this guy from Canada, he just made Carrasco. Man, it was really good that day. And when I saw he went to Inter, I was not kind of surprised given what he have seen, I've experienced, like, say, firsthand against him. So it was kind of mesmerizing. And like you said, Inter squad depth is really something that is great. And Inzaghi's, like you have mentioned, it's like he has improved in his management where he's able to, like, better manage games and also the minutes for players are better, are fresh, which is good for them. As compared to Aleti, that has not been the case because, wow, it's like we are running Griezmann. It's like we're squeezing every little bit of juice left in Griezmann because he's had a horrible 2024, and same for Koke, and then the rotation, and then with Morata out, which I think that would be our biggest issue against Inter, given someone who can actually make runs in behind, but we are going to have Memphis, who is actually someone who is basically attracted to the ball. So we're going to talk all about that. Abel, can you please give maybe any notable weaknesses in like Inter's in-possession game where Aleti can kind of capitalize, because Aleti tend to press high, but not all the time. They kind of choose their moments. And I think the best games where Aleti's press has really been great has been in the cup games. You have, I think, 2 years ago against Man City at home. Then you have even the game against United in the Champions League 2 years ago. And then you have, I think, there are even games this season against Real Sociedad, against Real Madrid, where Aleti's press, moment of choice of press have been good. And also they are sitting in the low block has been good. So do you think there are moments where Aleti can maybe trap this Inter side and try of like maybe nick a goal on the counter or like try to force turnovers?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, there's been teams like in certain like beginnings of the game. I think like even Roma, I would say like the last game they played or last weekend, where like Roma came out in the first half and for the opening minutes, like you can definitely, and I remember like Fiorentina as well in the recent game as well, where you can definitely like get them into trouble. Like, I mean, Jan Sommer, who I'm a huge fan of, but you can get him in trouble in some ways when the back pass isn't that great to him. I would say like just the early kind of concentration is the thing. But look, like as a team that's given up like, I think 12 goals in 24 in the league. So like it's those are like, you know, Oblak or Atleti goals. I think the other one is like some of the defensive transition, which like used to be a bigger thing with Brozovic. When Brozovic played, it was much more like he's, you know, a guy could run all day, and sometimes he wasn't positionally the most disciplined. But Calhanoglu, who has been like absolutely monster and it's really, really like tough to criticize him, but there's definitely like some of those where he can lose the ball, or he can like, you know, like I remember I think even Milan in the game they played had some success against Inter with these like quick combinations essentially when Inter's press doesn't kind of get there, because I think like Inter are a team when, and we can talk about their other position as well, like their That side of the game is one where I think it's more like sort of it's sort of ingrained, and they don't really like practice it as much. But there is like kind of spells where they drop off in terms of concentration as well, and they allow you to move the ball, but then it's like, you know, really allow you to get great chances against them. So yeah, there's definitely like opportunities. It's just they're not like, I don't think there's like glaring sort of weaknesses. I mean, it's tough to say that about a team that's been just so dominant. But like I think probably the other one is like you've seen Real Sociedad in the Champions League. I mean, Benfica in some ways, like the really kind of high intensity teams who commit to pressing with like basically playing 1v1 in the back, and it's just I think you have to make sure that you generate enough quality and ideally score a goal from those, because I think sooner or later, like, that's the thing with Inter, is like they're inevitably going to succeed in creating big chances and scoring goals. And I mean, there's not actually been too many Inter games, unlike in seasons, like previous seasons, you'd always have like several of these games, and particularly like, I mean, even last season, but the season where they lost to Milan and Scudetto, like Inter create, like, and Sassuolo was like the master of this, where Inter create just 3.5 XG, and they can't win those games. They're actually, I don't really remember, like, the one loss against Sassuolo was like pretty even from one of those, and Sassuolo scored from like kind of low quality chances and missed some bigger ones. But it was, yeah, it was also in Inter, like, had a little bit of you know, kind of, it was like right after the Milan game, was like midweek for, like, you know, or it was the end of the week, and then the Champions League was coming up. So I think there's a little bit of that. But I think my point is that they haven't had those performances where they've needed to, like, put up crazy XG, because they were never really been, like, behind that much. And I guess that's obvious if you give up just 12 goals in the league, but they haven't needed to play catch-up.
Well, it seems Inter basically takes the lead in most of their games, which kind of, like, plays into their game plan and also enables them to kind of score many chances. And but apart from that, I think they are quite a dominant side. So you mentioned about the out-of-possession stuff, and given Inter basically set up in 3-5-2, which can basically morph into so many things, given there's a lot of rotation between the players, because there are times where you have maybe Pavard acting as the interior, Barella as a right center back, Damian as the winger. So a lot of rotation in how they do things. So, but now out of possession, it seems they have basically like a flat back five, where it's a 5-3-2, and then where they have to, like, kind of force the press to one side, and then they kind of, like, pounce on that. So can you please walk us through their defensive setup and some of the things they do out of possession?
Yeah, so they do play like a high press with like full 1v1 over the pitch on, like, say, opponent goal kicks, but it's not like, I think they would rather kind of avoid that. I think it's better now with sort of the center backs they have, who are like more athletic and just overall higher quality than they've had before. So they can probably do that a little more. I think, incidentally, like, the defensive line is a little bit lower now. It's like 46 meters, sort of the average defensive actions. And the seasons where they've had those troubles, they were usually a couple meters higher, and that kind of doesn't always work for them. So I think their preference is to add that, like, 5-3-2, which usually the ball side wing back is the one who kind of jumps, or sometimes the eight. Like, they usually have predetermined kind of rotations on who picks up the inside person and who's the one who moves to the, say, like, the deep fullback who receives it. And then their two strikers, for the most part, screen the opposing six and the playmakers. So they can for sure press. I think they would prefer to screen. So like, against any 5-3-2, obviously, if you move the ball kind of quicker with accurate switches, you can get them into trouble. But they do recover quite well. And, like, the midfield three of, you know, Barella, Mkhitaryan, and Hakan all work, like, quite hard. And Thuram's definitely got a good work rate, and Lautaro's is able to do it as well. So, excuse me. So there's definitely, like, that element to them that they use this, and they're pretty happy also to sit back. You know, like, it's, you know, they've got very good box defenders in Acerbi, and obviously Bissek, Pavard, like, you know, De Frey, Bastoni as well. So, and Zomer probably isn't, like, the best at defending his box as a keeper, but he's just been an amazing shot stopper, especially this season as well. So I think in that sense, like, they have very, very few weaknesses, because they don't necessarily need to be in this high press, which takes a lot of energy to keep teams out. Like, they're very comfortable, like, defending in a minute. Like, we saw this against Man City in the final, against, like, the best team in the world. They're very comfortable, and they're able to just kind of sit there and take a lot of this pressure and generate. Like, I mean, it generates some turnovers. Like, you saw that against Lazio in the league game where they scored those goals. And there's obviously that upside to having a Thuram or a Lautaro, where if you do get on the counter, and I think this season they've got, like, the highest expected goals from counters that they've had, so it's that's pretty interesting. It's 0.3 per game per 90, so it's three times the Serie A average. So it's stats from X Value. It's one of the Italian sites that looks at data. So I think that's really, really fascinating, because anytime you're doing anything at three times the league average, and they're doing it without, like, having a disruptive build up. Like, it's sort of like league average or even below league average. And it's not like they have a huge sort of like a very low PPDA. It's at like 12.5. So they're not really, like, I think my point is that they're not really, like, trying to sell out and press all out to actually, like, keep teams out and also generate chances. So, but they have this capability, I think, probably more than at any times in the previous years, just because of center back personnel, and just because they're able to keep fresh, and then Zomer is obviously, like, very, very good off his line, as well as, like, a sweeper keeper.
So you're basically saying they are comfortable, like, sitting in the mid block rather than high press teams, like, let's say the RB Leipzig's.
Yeah, for sure.
But now they kind of choose their moment. Okay, they kind of choose their moments to kind of press, and it's something they are very good at. And you mentioned the key to that is basically the three players in midfield, which is Calhanoglu, Mkhitaryan, and Nico Barella. I think from what you just said, it's like all the out of position stuff which Inter are good at is basically Simeone's dream, because Aliti are not really the best when it comes to, like, high pressing. But now Cholo is basically he wants that type of a team where you kind of, like, sit in the mid block, and then you can control where the opponent kind of, like, has the ball, and then too far away from your goal, but not so far away from your goal, given we don't have the center backs to do that. But it seems that's something Inter Milan are quite good at. And you mentioned even when they press, they have a goalkeeper who is comfortable acting as a sweeper keeper in Yann Sommer, which we have seen, I think, from his time at, I think, in the Bundesliga with Gladbach, and I think when he played for Bayern, he did that more often. So you mentioned a clear weakness of Sommer's, which Aliti can maybe take advantage of that, which is basically his area claims. But I think before we started recording, you mentioned the fact that Inter having good box defenders basically cover us, so that way Aliti can maybe force a lot of crosses into the box, because the league game against Real Madrid, which ended 1-1 at the Bernabeu, Aliti kind of opted for that approach where heavy crossing, which was basically down to the fact that Real Madrid don't have good box defenders, and maybe this time around we can maybe, like, do the reverse, where we can, like, target the keeper into maybe false claims or false punches, and then we kind of capitalize from that. Let's see how it goes. And without Morata, that would be tough, because we kind of have Memphis. Morata's air ability will be missed for sure in that game. But Aliti have Jimenez back, which is a good player from set pieces and all. You mentioned about what Inter kind of do and basically what they're comfortable doing. Are there any vulnerabilities they kind of have, like, out of possession, where teams have taken advantage of? Obviously, we know the vulnerabilities that teams have when they defend in the back five, where if you're kind of switch play, you can maybe play quickly and switch play, then you can catch teams out. And also, when they kind of attack, you can take advantages of the spaces behind the fullback. Apart from those clear advantages which come with the system they use, are there any other flaws?
Yeah, just to kind of, like, put a little, like, a few numbers on the defensive, like, Yann Sommer, he hasn't actually, like, had to have a lot of, you know, high sweeping actions, and I think it's definitely not like Onana, you know, there's issues with Handanovic when he was there, but he's, like, actually among one of the lower. But we know from, I mean, I'm much of my sort of professional career in media or whatever has been on the Bundesliga, so very familiar with Jan Sommer at Gladbach, and he was excellent at those, and so he's got this long history of being a really, really good sweeper keeper, which he's now producing like basically half of those actions or even like a third of those actions than he was at Bayern. So that's more just down to team style. Yeah, it's just that. But yeah, I think playing Memphis actually might not be like the worst idea in that sense. And I mean, I know he's sort of the one who's available, but yeah, it's definitely like, you know, I mean, really like with any team that plays a back three, particularly like somewhat aggressively, you know, deep movements of like a Memphis and Griezmann is something. And you can get, I think like the other one is you can get in behind the Di Marco even, and if it's Dumfries for sure. And maybe Darmian less so because he's probably the best defender out of those. So yeah, there's opportunities there. Acerbi has generally been like pretty fantastic, but he's also like very experienced. But you can, there's things that you can do. So like the midfield, as I mentioned. You can like any sort of quick combination from sort of good central build up. I know, like I guess like okay, it's sort of questionable in that sense, but definitely like Atleti, when I've seen them this season, there's been a lot more emphasis on, you know, trying to play a little bit more attacking and trying to have more combination play. So I think it's just like sort of a quality thing, because in many of the Serie A games, you just don't really see the opponent kind of try that quality, and probably like intensity. And I think that can be a question mark. I'm not sure if like Atleti is necessarily the team to exploit the intensity edge, like in a way that say Real Sociedad did, or, you know, like probably many of the Premier League teams can or could. But there's definitely some amounts, although I think not too many.
In terms of high turnover, they have scored a league high 7 goals from high turnovers, which is quite good. But in contrast to the Champions League, where they have 0 and just 4 shots from high turnovers, it kind of maybe indicates that maybe Inzaghi approaches the Champions League games quite different to the league games.
Oh, yeah, I think that's been clear since last season as well. And like we were talking before we came on about how Inzaghi has this massive reputation as a cup manager, right? Like he hasn't really won the league yet. So, and he's won like, you know, Coppa Italia a number of times, Super Cup as well with Inter now, I think 3 years running. So, and obviously went to the final last season. So at this point, you know, the league is the hardest and they've pretty much wrap that up, and they're in a great position because I don't think they've really like played superbly, and they're comfortably there with a nice matchup against Atleti. So I think in that sense, like, you have to envy Inzaghi in this matchup, because he's kind of got everything that he's wanted, and he's been able to do it while kind of managing the squad, and no one's really like injured, and everyone's like actually in great form. Like if you know, since January, since they restarted, like they won every single game, and it's impossible to score on them. And you've got like Lautaro and Thuram and Çalhanoğlu in really, really great form. So it's, I think in that sense, like it's probably as confident as I think certainly Inter fans as well. Like from follow a fair number of them, I've got to. If your friends who are passionate Inter fans, like they're probably as confident as they've ever been, and it's generally like Inter fan group can be a little bit pessimistic and self ironic, but no one's really saying that. So I think I would take that as a bad sign in your case.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because Aliti has kind of gone from more to less as the season has progressed, and you mentioned some out of position things. Inter kind of do, which is basically, as entails when you use the 5-3-2, which is squeezing the center. And you mentioned about when you watch Aleti kind of play, like some like progressive kind of play. And that's been evidence in how Aleti play, because one of the key things I think Inter will have to maybe deal with, or if Aleti can get right, then it causes a lot of Inter, a lot of problems for Inter, not just Inter, but any team, is basically that 10-man combination where you find where Aleti kind of uses it to pick out Koke, which is basically our deep line playmaker, our six. And if Aleti can do that more often and pick him out, that's obviously behind the front two of Thuram and Lautaro, then I think that can cause issues for Inter, because once that finds Koke, it always finds Koke when Koke faces the opponent's goal. And there are two things. It's either a switch to the right for like an overlap from Molina, or it's a pass infield to Griezmann. And if that happens, then that's basically, and those moments are moments where Aleti have kind of been at their best and have played their best football. So I think that's something Inzaghi will be working on, but that's something many teams have tried and they haven't really succeeded in like stopping it. The only person who has succeeded in stopping is Koke himself. That's when he's not been fresh, or when he's having a bad game, against like the game against Barca and the game against Real, against Athletic Club. The spaces were not that much centrally, but now you have some intricate play between him and Depol, and then all of a sudden, Aleti are basically in behind Aleti Club. So that's maybe something I think Aleti can maybe use against Inter form.
I think, like, for sure, I have a little bit of insight into, like, how incredibly prepared they are. I mean, they have, like, 5 match analysts on the staff, and, I know, 1 or 2 of them. And, I mean, they've, if you've seen, like, sort of Inter, just, I mean, last season's Champions League final is a good example. Like, they were never surprised by anything. So they, this is normal for many of the bigger Italian teams for sure, but they might be the best at sort of opponent or match preparation. So like I think to the extent that like they're not prepared for these things is like I would say highly unthinkable. Now that of course, you know, it's only about as good as it's executed, right? So every sort of match plan. But I think we've got like enough evidence of Inter being super prepared under Inzaghi, and the sort of staff has done a really good job in that sense. So I think in that sense, like, it's again kind of Atleti has the onus on them to kind of do something maybe unpredictable or yeah, I mean, that's now that I think about it more, that would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, you talk of invisibility. I think that's something I think at the moment this Aleti squad doesn't have, because it's kind of evident of how Aleti play. And I think one of the things I think Inter will basically use to their advantage, which almost every team Aleti has played against has used in their advantage, is forcing Aleti to be down the right-hand side. And if that's the case, then I think Inter's maybe shots from turnovers will basically increase, because Aleti are basically very poor when building down that side. It was evident against Feyenoord. It was evident against Athletic Club home and away. It was evident against Barca. And Chula has kind of tried to compensate with that by playing Witzel as a wide center back. But now, you know, Witzel is basically a little bit older and obviously defending wide spaces. I will not be surprised if Witzel plays in the right, as the right center back. And then you see maybe Thuram, because some of the games I watch, he's favored making runs towards the left. But I will not be surprised if you see him making runs. I won't be surprised seeing making runs to that direction because of how fast, super fast you'll be against, let's say, a player that we sell, or maybe as compared to Hermoso or Renildo, which will not be so favorable to him. But it will be good seeing a matchup if Renildo plays against Thuram, because Renildo is basically, in my opinion, one of the best defenders in the world at the moment.
He can definitely compete. Yeah, he can definitely compete.
Yeah, because I don't, I'm not considering to the fact about Boapo. I'm talking about defending, because I think Reynolds when he came back has kind of like pushed Aleti to kind of press higher in games and maybe also defend a lot of spaces behind, given his recovery pace, his high level of anticipation. And that's basically, I think, the only guy who kind of gives me confidence of maybe, let's say, Aleti doing well defensively against Inter, which is going to be a very, very tough task. But lucky for us, Jose Maria Jimenez is back, and let's see how he plays against Las Palmas today, which is an early kickoff, and then hopefully that will be something we'll look at. And if you talk about predictability, because basically I think there's a lot of similarities between Inter and Aleti, because Inter rely on associative play in wide areas. That is basically the same thing Aleti rely on. But now the bad thing I can say for Aleti will be that I think Lino will have to be on his top game, because him playing as a wing back, he will have to come up 1v1 against Damian, and Damian is a really an experienced guy, and like you said, mentioned, he is having a decent season going forward and also defending. So that's maybe some of the battles we can maybe keep an eye on. So apart from those things, what are some other battles you can, Atleti fans can keep an eye on, like those 1v1s on the pitch?
I think I probably forgot to mention one aspect of it, like, which is final third. And I'm glad you sort of mentioned the associative play, because that's also been like kind of a trademark for Inter, that especially over the years, where, and especially this season, like just Çalhanoğlu, I mentioned about those ridiculous passes, like many of those are happening in like the final third, where he's just breaking like two lines. But some of it is also like, you know, Barella obviously has got like a really, really like, probably world-class kind of spatial understanding and of like when to kind of get in the wide areas, and then how that creates space for like, say, a wing back coming inside, or like another one of the Tarian, I think that's probably the interesting part of it. It's just how intelligent those three are in terms of like even off the ball runs. It's and we know like the on ball qualities of those guys. But and Mkhitaryan, I mean, even at Dortmund was amazing at that. And maybe not as like flashy, but like his emergence, I think even last season as well, has been like someone not a lot of people saw it, like at his age, like everybody kind of wrote him off, I think, and thought like, well, it's just going on to Inter on a free. And that's also like Inter's squad building has been really good in that sense of like picking up these players that everybody thought, oh, it's just going there on a free, like, oh, it's just going to be a squad player, and they just become really important. So yeah, those are key things. And I think like the depth that I mentioned, that, you know, you can put in like a Fratesi, who's like amazing off the ball and has this really high work rate, off the bench, like now Buchanan gives them another thing, or Dumfries as well, like as I mentioned about Carlos Augusto as the wingback. So like they have, or they didn't have this depth, or in terms of quality of depth, really the last couple of seasons. Now I've really, the only place is perhaps like Lautaro and Thuram, but you know, so it's like Arnautovic in the Champions League, I probably wouldn't be that excited about in the knockout if I'm an Inter fan. But I think that's extremely kind of nitpicky in this sense that yeah, they just have very, very few probably very, very few flaws, if any.
Well, like you said, Inter have very, very few flaws, and that will be something Atleti will have to be very wary about. And you mentioned some of the qualities of the players in midfield, like Barella, which is basically someone who I think everyone in Europe knows about his on and off the ball qualities. And maybe going too far, but I kind of see like similarities between Barella and like, say, Pablo Barros for Atleti, players who are basically very skilled on the ball, and then off the ball, they kind of offer you, and they have a lot of energy and can sacrifice a lot for the team. Abel, last season in the Champions League, when Inter played against Barca, in the first half when they played at the Camp Nou, there was something Xavi did. I think Xavi went for the box, and that caused a lot of problems for Brozovic, I think, where he basically had to, and that was also due to the fact that the centre backs were passive, where he was like always in a 2v1 situation.
Right.
Where when he is focused, let's say, like, I think Busquets, then you have Gavi or Pedri behind him, and Atleti kind of have like this Y shape when they play in possession, where you have like Griezmann dropping in from the front line, and I think centre backs are always worried to drop to Z because that can create space for someone to make a run. It's Memphis, I'm not sure, so he will be making those run, but if that was Morata, then I'm sure, I'm obviously 100% sure. But now Griezmann drops deep, and do you think Inter have kind of like walked past that, and then that's not a weakness Atleti can capitalize on?
I think like it's tough to answer that question, because I do think that there were like examples, like I mentioned Milan playing kind of that sometimes diamond, sometimes box midfield, like early in the season. And there were definitely opportunities for progression. And I think like even the Roma game recently, where like Roma play this kind of lopsided, like in some ways very functional, like 4-3-3, which where Dybala kind of drops off of, like, he kind of starts out as a right winger, but he drops off in the midfield, and then you have almost like a midfield diamond where he can be kind of the 10 or off of Lukaku. And that, I would say, like, in the first part of the match, or maybe first 20 minutes, gave Inter problems. So, like, putting players between the lines at different depth and staggering them in a way where you, and if you have like Koke or Paredes, like someone who's a capable or good deep lying playmaker, that can definitely hurt Inter, because like just with that midfield three, there's always going to be like a spot ahead of, like, between three and the sort of 3-5. There's always spaces there, and if you can get enough there, then that's there's evidence now that, you know, these particularly if you get them moving side to side, like, I think that's another thing where and you have good passing center backs, which I guess you do, right, with Hermoso. I'm thinking
Hermoso, Witzel.
Yeah, Witzel for me is like more of a safe passer. Like, he's not really like sort of a. I mean, I watched years of him at Dortmund of just like, you know, 95% passing, but always to the side. Or if you can get those kind of like I think, you know, like Griezmann in a similar role to like Dybala, which is not a bad idea. Getting like one of those like wing backs inside, and like having the, you know, center back over, like, which is very interplay, but you know, Roma had some success with that. I think Atleti can as well. These little like Z patterns, you know, where like say you bring an eight to pin the center back, and then you drop that eight off, and then he gets the ball from center back, gives it off to deep lying playmaker, and then it's off to the striker, and then the striker can either run behind or could also lay it off to like Griezmann or, you know, so something like that. Like that's a pattern that I think can have success, and Roma actually definitely had success in the five. They had less success later on. Even like, I think even a team like Verona had some. It's just kind of like, again, that it, like any team, there's opportunities, but like if you look at sort of the big picture, and that's why like analytics and statistics is useful, that it's hard to kind of find these things. I mean, it probably doesn't play a factor or a part in like sort of match preparation and match analysis, because you're just looking at sort of footage and thing, but trying to find like holes. But if you're kind of like I'm not here to make the argument that it's going to be easy, because that would be a little bit foolish.
Yeah, for sure. And like you have said, in that team with not so much amount of flaws. So getting towards the end of the show, we have talked about we have mentioned Chanelu a couple of times, and also Barella. Can you kind of give us what are some of the key factors that have maybe led to Çalhanoğlu succeeding playing as a deep line playmaker in the absence of, or when Inter kind of sold Brozovic?
Yeah, that was kind of a weird. You have to go back to like that season in 2021-22 where like Inter had a 4-point lead with a game in hand over Milan for like 22 or 23 match days. And then they had the makeup game that they lost in Bologna, and also Brozovic missed like three games, and they're like unlucky, like Sassuolo, like they had like this game, but then there were the games like Torino where they couldn't create anything. So and Brozovic, like there was like a disagreement about renewing him, and Inter, I think some of it is like the financial aspect of it is the tricky side of signing all of these free agents. So the upside is you're getting them for free, but the tricky side is high salaries, right? So, and then there's no resale value to signing a 31, 32-year-old. So when they actually were able to kind of, you know, so like they had to kind of, Vignar was another one where they couldn't match. And Brozovic was as well, where he, you know, he wasn't gonna extend. So in that sense, like they always have to be like kind of mindful of basically the financial, you know, this team still has a lot of debt, and there's always kind of rumors about, well, how are they gonna be able to you know, manage that, and how can they put a team. And I mean, there was like a year where they paid, like they had Alexis on huge wages, same with Dzeko and Lukaku as well. So like this is like they're always walking this tightrope. So one sort of caveat of that is that you do have to kind of replace the central midfielders, right? Because it is a, you know, it is like an aging core, and they have spent, like, you know, spent Aslani, they spent 10 million on Frattesi is a loan, but basically he's a permanent one. I mean, you know, previous, like Davy Klaassen came, I mean previous years as well, like if you remember, like there were enough. But the fact that they were actually able to get like the 18 million for Brozovic and get his salary off the books is like a pretty big win, when considering like last season they already began this transition to Çalhanoğlu. So like and he, I mean, Çalhanoğlu's always had this capability. I mean, can play, and it probably is better suited as he, you know, gets into, like, not that he's old at 29, but he's been playing, you know, like in the first division and in Germany's, you know, for 10 years now, and even second Bundesliga before. So he's got a number of miles on him. So yeah, it's like they've always been kind of mindful of managing those thing of managing those squad issues. And yeah, like they you know, I mean, a couple of years ago, if you remember, like they had to sell. Like, that's one of the reasons why Conte left, right? They had to sell Lukaku, Hakimi, right? Like all these guys, to basically still have a team and not be completely debt ridden. So they're always walking this tightrope. So I think in that sense, like you have to kind of admire Marotta, the sporting director's job year after year of taking on some risk with a lot of these kind of, you know, free players. But I mean, we talked about, I think before the show, we talked about, you know, getting Jan Sommer on a free, but you know, you made 50 million on Onana for after one season, right? So like it's amazing. And Onana came on a free, and then you sold him for 50 a year later. So they've been like pretty ingenious in that sense. And they're good at kind of finding the value with a guy like Bissek, or probably even Pavard as well. So it's like they're the fact that they, and some of it is like, you know, I'm not particularly sure like how all of this was planned. Like I don't know if Mkhitaryan was supposed to be this major piece, but you know, Barella is the one sort of guy who's untouchable, and then there used to be Brozovic. But then if Brozovic had to, you know, they were able to kind of get money for him and get the wages off as he, you know, not that he was super old, but also like just again the amount of running that he's done, right? And basically now Çalhanoğlu is probably playing as good, if not better, and when you look at the sort of end product that he is also putting up and the key goals and all that stuff, then maybe you can even make the argument that he's been better than Brozovic in some ways.
Well, like you mentioned, Inter basically are walking the tightrope, but they are basically very brilliant in the transfer market, and that's thanks to Moratti, like you mentioned. And they just, I think some couple of days ago, you had like two players where they basically announced, which were Zielinski from Napoli on a free, and then there's another. So they are give, which is basically Terami from Porto on a free, which are basically two. How you consider them good signings, given sure that those players are not young, but they kind of like keep them competing at the top level. Well, that's kind of great as compared to Atleti, who kind of go for the same profile of players we go for. I will not say the flops, but go for the ones who don't have anything left in the tank. So
Yeah,
Abel,
Taremi is the other one from Porto, if that was just a Taremi from Porto was the striker, is the one, and yeah, Zielinski. Yeah, but it's like Marotta's been doing this since Juve, so he's got like that's kind of his excellent thing, and I mean, they have it's just such a system now, so.
And they also basically have like some young players coming up, or some young players in the squad, which is also kind of great. Like Thuram is 26, Barella, you have Bastoni also, so that's kind of great. I mean, we have like come to the end of the show, and we have touched on everything we had to cover. Talk about Inter in and in possession, out of possession, some of the weaknesses maybe Alessi can take advantage of. So this is basically the last part, and it's one of my favorites. It's basically a quiz. So I hope you are prepared.
I'll do my best.
Okay, so the first question is if you can name
All
five
right.
players who have played for both Inter and Atletico.
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. You've cut me off guard. But Simeone, right? Well, I guess well, I have this coat. I don't know. I'm trying to think. You might have to edit this part out.
Well, just let's just
because
say
I'm usually
you
not.
are. Let's just go because I don't think I have to edit it because basically you're not the worst. You're not the worst. Okay, I have a like Kai. I think you know him. Okay.
Well, no, I would say, I'll say, so you have to go back, right? So Christian Vieri would be one, right? Yeah. Christian Vieri would be one. Godin, probably another one, right? Now that I think about it.
Yes, Godin, yes. Oh, that's better. You're doing better than Kai.
I guess Vrsaljko as well.
Yes, that's three.
I said Simeone, right? As a
Simeone four.
I'm sure. And I think was maybe another one that
Godin,
maybe I'm not sure.
Vasalico,
Yeah.
Vieri,
Thiago
Simeone.
Motta, maybe? I'm not sure.
No.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I guess not, because it's. Yeah.
Think of Jabulani.
Yeah. Maybe Kondogbia would be another one.
Yeah,
I think.
Konobia. Well, I was saying think of Jabulani. I was saying think of the 2010 World Cup and Forlan.
Oh, yeah, Forlan. Yeah. I did say Forlan. Just maybe you can hear me, but yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That would be.
Yeah, you also have Banega. Oh, that's great. 5-5. Wow. So, Atleti has faced Inter just once in the competition game, and can you kind of recall the game and the score line?
Inter Atleti. Is it like was it recently or was it like a historical game?
No, recently.
Yeah,
It's not been that one.
was it one like a It was like a knockout game in the Champions League, I'm pretty sure, but it was like quarterfinal?
Oh, yeah. No, you're thinking of Milan, talking about Inter.
Okay, maybe I'm not sure. No, I probably don't remember. No.
It was a Super Cup.
Okay. Yeah. Super, yeah. That, I don't know. I'm not sure if that counts, but yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, basically, and the game ended 2-0 with goals from José Luis Antonio Reyes, may he rest in peace, and also
Course.
Aguero. Wow, I bet that's not bad, you know.
Sure.
Okay, can you say the last Italian team Atleti played in the knockout stages of the Champions League?
I always have like memories of them playing either like they either play Bayern or Liverpool. Yeah, I'm not sure. Was it?
I think of Ronaldo.
Oh, was it Juve? Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, then I like this. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember that because it was a big disappointment in that Allegri at the time.
Yeah, it was really a bad game for us, no, and the great comeback from Juve in the Italy. So the last question, can you recall the last time Atleti knocked out an Italian team from in the knockout stages of the Champions League?
And they knocked someone out. Oh, it must have been like those during the like sort of the. run to the final, right?
Yep, for sure.
But maybe it was... no, it was not going to mean. I'm trying to think. Not sure. You can tell me the answer.
the 2014 season, okay. Round of 16.
Right. Oh, okay, okay.
Diego, Milan against Milan.
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. I'm pretty bad at it. It's like, the thing is that, like, since I'm not really, like, doing it from a fan perspective, I Dortmund games I would remember, but it's probably the only team where I'm just like, I have this kind of memory of a fan of like that experience. And the other ones are just like, yeah, I'd have to like look it up if I'm really doing something. But yeah, I'm usually like pretty bad at this kind of trivia.
Well, firstly, I'm happy I didn't not facing a Bundesliga team this time around, or else that would have been certain knockout given our bad record against them. And then secondly, you are not that bad, okay? I think you have answered 3 out of 5, which is the same as Jose Perez. And as compared to the worst, you are not even close to him. The worst did not even answer any of them, or even a single after all me numerous him. I'm sure you know of Kai. So that's not bad, if you ask me. Well, Abel, it's been great having this conversation with you about Inter and all what we Atleti fans can expect tactically from them. And it's true, most fans will not have a lot of positivity after listening to this, given the amount of praise which is deserved on Inter's part. Because, well, but as the saying goes, okay, Maliti are basically at their best when they are cornered, when their backs are against the wall. So this basically may be a tie where Maliti are kind of like the underdogs in a certain sense, given their recent form and given Inter's form and what Inter is achieving at the moment. So thank you for coming onto the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, but before I let you go, please, what's your score prediction for the game?
I'll go with like 2-0 Inter.
Well, fair enough. And then we'll go through.
Inter.
Okay. I'll walk through this in the most time. Well, if you're listening up to this point, well, just thank you. And remember, nunca deja de creer, never stop believing. See you next time.